Tevis on Lovus Yirshar, Bitochen Wednesday, Yutes Cheshman. It's about Hishtadlus, what we call Hishtadlus, because of the five prerequisites that a person has to integrate into their very being, internalize, in order to become a Bitochen, with number one being to be convinced that the seven things of Perek Beis are true. Number two being Hashem knows your thoughts. Number three being no one can hurt or harm you other than Hashem is solely responsible for everything that happens. Number four, I might be mixing up number three and four. And the fourth being that you have to do your part, and we explained that at length. How does that fit into Hashem does chesed even if you don't deserve it? We explained that. And number five is to realize that everything that happens, even if it seems like, oh look, it just happened. This person did something to that person. A war broke out. The stock market went down. So it just happened. And why did it happen? Because of that. No. There's a long link chain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the head of the chain. It's just that ever since Sheshesh Yemei Bereishis, there are channels through which Hashem's Gezeira is channeled, and many times we have to create those channels. Have to meaning because that's the normal Seder HaBriya. Not always. If a rich uncle dies and he leaves us his Yerusha, so then Hashem's Gezeira that I come into money does not need my channel. But most of the time it needs my channel. And he says, and this is obvious, because, and now I'll use the word Hishtadlus, the Chavis Halavis' words are his askus besibos, busying ourselves with the channels that bring about the result. And it's a very carefully chosen word, I believe, because his askus just means to keep busy. It means you really don't have any effect upon the result. It's wrong to think of, I'll use the word Hishtadlus from now on, it's just easier, we're used to that word. It's wrong to think of Hishtadlus as Hashem says, I'll do 90% and you do 10%. That's wrong. Hashem does 100%. He wants you to go through the motions. Hishtadlus, his askus pasibos, that's what he wants. And he says, well, you know, Hashem could even send a loaf of bread to your table. You're going to starve to death if you don't pick up that bread and put it in your mouth. And you can put it, even if Hashem sends it to your mouth, you have to chew it, you have to swallow it. So then taking that chain backwards, he says, how'd the bread get to the table? You have to have money to buy it in the store if you didn't grow it yourself. If you grew it yourself, so we know you have to plow and plant and fertilize and watch out from disease and watch out from arba and watch out and pray for rain, and that we know. But what about if it's in the store? So you need money. How do you get money? You have to work. So everything is your part in the channeling that Hashem should bring bread to your table. And that's just common sense. And as I say, the Chavis Halvavus in a different place in the Sefer uses the pasuk of Vayanicheu beGan Eden la'avdoh ulushamra as the source that a person has to work, has to be misasik besibos in order to earn a living. He does not use the pasuk that's so often quoted, Bezeya sapecha tocha lechem. The conceptual difference is that Bezeya sapecha tocha lechem is a curse, and Vayanicheu beGan Eden la'avdoh ulushamra is taking place before the chet. That's how Hashem set up the world, that a person should do that. B'zeya sapecha is a curse, because it means b'zeya sapecha. We don't want to sweat. We want to have a nice white collar job, whichever one it is, and we don't want to sweat, especially if there's no air conditioning. But so Hashem said b'zeya sapecha tochalechem. That was the curse. It's not like the common understanding that it's a curse to have to go work. That's not the Chavis Halvavus' view. Whether that means that if someone decides not to work, they're doing an avla, that's not for this shir. Most people I know that, let's say, learn in Kailo, So their wives work. I mean, someone works. To sit in Kollel and just take Kollel either doesn't exist, because you can't afford to buy diapers with the money they give you, or if it exists, it's a good shaila. And I'm not the first one to raise it, and Rav Moshe talks about it, and others talk about it, whether you should accept that situation where you're talking, not, no one's working and you're just taking, but you're learning seriously, become a Rav, become a Rosh Hashiva, become a Rebbe. That's a shiloh that has to be asked. This is not the right forum for that, but certainly the Chovitz Halvavos that puts the idea that Hishtadlus includes working, it's important to realize he says it as Vayanicheu B'gan Eden Lo'abdu L'shamra rather than V'yasapecha Toch HaLechem Al-Kabonim. But here it's really moving away from the topic, because the topic we're talking about is Bitochon versus Hishtadlus, and he's just using Parnosa as just a great example of that. So he's in the middle of talking about how you have to chew and you have to pick up the bread, so you know, and you have to buy it. If you don't have money, you can't buy it. V'ha'ila. Now we're up to the word v'ha'ila. Why did Hashem do that to us? And that question is such a good question. First of all, nobody wants to feel like a fool, right? They built Peace Home in Ramses, and it kept. I don't want to do something meaningless. Well, you're telling me I'm doing something, so it's not meaningless because Hashem told me to do it. But why? If ultimately it has no bearing on the result, ultimately it has some bearing on the result, because it's the Ratzon Hashem that I do it. And if I don't do it, I'm violating the Ratzon Hashem. And then that has ramifications. If you violate the Ratzon Hashem, it has ramifications. But that's already Shlav Beis. But really, I'm not doing anything. So why did Hashem create such a world for? That's one question. Another question is, like, you know, I mean, it makes life very difficult. The most difficult thing about bitachon is that we don't see it. We see cause and effect. We see that if I work, I have money, and if I don't work, I don't have money. We see that if he punched me in the nose, my nose bleeds, and if he didn't punch me in the nose, I guess my nose wouldn't have bled, which is not true. Which is mamish not true. So why did Hashem? So you could say he did it for Bechira's sake, which is a good answer, and maybe that's the omek of one of his two answers. We'll see. Why did Hashem, in other words, to create this, just like the whole Olam, Nelam, Nistar, just like we don't see Hashem in this world, the Malachim see Hashem, so to speak, all the other worlds, Osin Be'emor, its own Konam, they know who created them, and we are blinded. We have to make our way through the smoke and mirrors and see Hashem, which is the purpose of life. The Ramban at the end of Shmos, the purpose of all the mitzvahs is to reaffirm and re-acknowledge and pound it into ourselves again and again, at least as much as all those election posters outside. It pounds into you, you gotta vote for Hashem. You gotta remember, and that's all the mitzvahs, whether it's putting on tefillin, or hafreshes challah, or having a mezuzah on your door, or kriya shema, or sipi yitzias mitzrayim, and the chukim also. It just, Ramban says, the purpose of all the mitzvahs, this is not the reshiva of the Baal Tshuva yeshiva talking, this is the Ramban and Chumash at the end of Bo. The purpose of the whole ball of wax, all the Taryag mitzvahs, is to acknowledge and be aware of and to proclaim that there's a Borei Olam and he runs the world. That's what it's all about. So, like, why do this to us? V'ha'ila asher bavur achiyav ha'boreas adam, the reason Hashem set up the world, lachzor v'lasabe v'al kol sibos ha'teref. Now, by the way, throughout the Sefer, the Chovitz Halvavos uses money and parnasa as, when he's talking about Olam Hazeh and involvement of Olam Hazeh, he talks about money and food and parnasa. He could talk about health, which is not an inyan of money and food and parnasa, it's health. He could talk about shiduchim, being married. He could talk about relationships, having children. But this is really the most overwhelming involvement of a person in Olam Hazeh is meeting the monthly mortgage payment, meeting the monthly rent, buying food, putting food on the table, buying clothing, beged, lilbosh, lechem, lechol. That's what Yaakov Avinu asked for. He must have had free rent. I don't know. He lived in a tent, I guess. He didn't have to ask for shelter. He just had to ask for lechem and beged. Why didn't he ask for a house already? Throw it in. So that's, the Chazal talks about money and parnasa, but it really applies to everything, because there's a shtadlus and shtadlus versus bitachon in everything we do. We want to get into, we want our children to get into a school, we want to get a job, shiduchim, everything is like bitachon shtadlus, bitachon shtadlus. But he talks about money and parnasa. As I say, that's 90% of our lives. That's talk to people. That's what the rat race is about. That's what you got to do. That's what most of our gashmiyustika lives is consumed. No pun intended. Is consumed with parnosa, with money and parnosa. I'm not talking about mosros and luxuries. I'm talking about living and taking care of our children and paying tuition and buying what they need, whether they do need it, they don't need it. That's not this discussion. The discussion is that's what the Chazal Brothers uses that as our involvement in Olam Hazeh most of the time. So why did Hashem do that to us for? It's like a huge joke on mankind. Go through the motions. So he says there's two reasons for it, and I'll tell you the two reasons ba'al peh, and then we'll learn it inside. The two reasons are, number one, that's the battleground of Bechira. When you got to get out there and you have to work and you have to earn money, and all of a sudden there's bitachon, lashon hara, geneva, or life. That's what life is. That's the battleground of Bechira. If you wouldn't have to be misasik besibos, you could stay at home a whole day. A man would learn what's the problem. A woman would say tilim, or nowadays she would also learn. And wonderful life, and they would sip pina colada and have a wonderful life, and that would be wonderful. But there wouldn't be bechira in that life. You wouldn't be. We have to create who we are. We have to create whom we are. And we create that by having nisyonos and by having difficulties. That's hishtadlus. That's what we do. We struggle. And ataka is not meaningful in terms of the result. The result is there. But again, if you don't work, it's not going to happen. Most of the time, without a nace, or even if it would be a nace nistar, but without a nace. The answer is because you're violating Ratzon Hashem by not doing hishtadlus. So now, you see, I say, if I don't go to work, why aren't I going to earn money? So most people will say, that's a funny question. What do you think? But that's the wrong answer. Now that you've gone to the Chavis Halvah this year, the precise answer is, because if I don't go to work, I'm violating the Ratzon Hashem, and I have to suffer the consequences of violating the Ratzon Hashem. So, that's semantics. Oh, no, it's not. That's a whole hashkafa on life. And the difference is, do you get depressed when you get fired? Do you take a job that pays you more money, but not the best atmosphere to be in? Or you get home too late and the house becomes a little dysfunctional because you took this job, but I need the job, I need the parnasa. See, it would be foolhardy, it would be contradictory, it would be hypocritical. If you say you believe that your hishtadlus is only because I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem, and then you take a job that entails talking Lashon Hara, that entails a lack of tzdius, that entails playing games with Shabbos, that entails making a dysfunctional house, and then you're kidding yourself. You're not doing it because it's the Ratzon Hashem. You're doing it because you believe that's what's earning you the money, and you don't want to give it up. But that's not true. So it's life changes your whole picture. Now already, You say, so how do I pick a job? You're not going to go to a job counselor and say what earns more money. Chavisal Volos at the end of the perek will say how to pick work. He says, since it really doesn't, he's going to say, so if it really doesn't matter, and it's all a big show, and you're just doing your Ratzon Hashem because you want Ishtadlus, so how do you know what to do? Yeah, from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav. Should you close your eyes and just pick out of a hat? I'm going to be a zoologist. I'm going to be an astronaut. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a doctor. Is that what you're supposed to do? So the Chai Vizalmodus, he'll answer, you pick something that you'll have job satisfaction out of, that you enjoy doing, that you feel you're capable, you're good at it, and that you're doing something constructive to help the world. Something. Even if you're making clean streets. So, okay, you're making clean streets. You're strong, you're going to do hovalah for people, that's wonderful. But am I going to get parnasa? So if it reaches the threshold of hishtadlus, that much you have to find out. And if it doesn't reach the threshold of hishtadlus, then it's not hishtadlus. But once it reaches the threshold, then you did your hishtadlus, and you're not supposed to worry about money, you're supposed to have bitachon, once you've met that threshold. But again, the Rotzon Hashem is that you do what gives you job satisfaction, that you feel you're good at, and what's a constructive contribution to the Olam, to the world. We'll get to that. I'm jumping ahead, really. Now he's saying, number one, that's the battleground of Bechira. That's where your neshonos lie. That's where you develop your neshama. That's where you face struggle and difficulty and neshonos. The neshonos that are out there. Plenty of neshonos out there. And again, it's not just parnasa. It's everything in life. Why do I have to struggle to get my kid into a school? It's nigzar. Hashem's going to send the kid to the best school, what's best for him. That's what's best for me, so I can boast about what school he's in, but what's best for him. And maybe what's best for him is a school he has to struggle in, because that's best for him. But, so then why do I have to go through the motions of all the things we go through? And the answer is because that's where nisyonos lie. Are you going to pass the test and do what's best for your child, not what gives you the most glory amongst your neighbors? Right? How are you going to approach it? Are you going to use, are you going to do inappropriate things? You know, whether it's lashon hara or other things that are not appropriate. So this is in the world of nisyonos. That's reason number one. And reason number two is, Hashem says, I got to keep human beings busy or they're just going to get into trouble. They are my children. You never knew what it means, we're Hashem's children. It means we're Hashem's children, and he knows that if we have too much leisure time, we're just going to get into trouble and do averus. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. And whenever Klal Yisrael have had leisure, history has shown this sad truth. That when we have leisure time, we get into trouble. And when things are hard and tough and we have to struggle, it keeps us honest most of the time. Till the last few hundred years, with where Europe, East Europe especially, became so... See, in West Europe they assimilated because of a Yishman Yeshurun Vayivot. But in Eastern Europe, it was just life just got below the line of difficult, and just people. So that was that led up to the Holocaust. Those 200 years. Again, I recommend Rabbi Miller's book that just came out. That I forgot the name of it already, but I recommended it in Shul on Shabbat Shuva. And you see history, and so those two things, those two places in the graph crossed. And the Holocaust was upon us, and then Eretz Yisrael emerged from the Holocaust, and a shefa bracha from Shemayim that never existed in history before, the shefa that we have now in terms of wealth, in terms of children, in terms of population, in terms of freedom. nothing can compare to what we're living now since the Churban HaBayis. Nothing can compare to it, with liberty and money and abilities to do anything you want to do. Anyway, so to keep you out of trouble, if you would sit home and drink that pina colada and have whatever you wanted, you would just get into trouble. Vayishman Yeshurim Vayivat. So you got to work for a living, and it keeps you busy. You know, and your kids, you know, when they're bored, they look for something to do, and they say, let's worship this Avodah Zarah, let's worship that Avodah Zarah, maybe we should try this, let's try that, let's experiment. And if you're busy, you don't have time to experiment. That's the second reason. Those are the two reasons Chavis HaLavis gives for Hishtadlus in general, not just Parnasa. Number one, it's the battleground of Bechira. Number two, it keeps you out of trouble. It gives you something to do, so you don't have too much leisure time, which just gets you into trouble. Let's learn it inside. Echad Mehem, reason number one, Mipnei Shechiva HaKochma. Listen how beautifully he describes Bechira. Because the Chochma El Yonah was Mechaye Bechinas HaNefesh Ba'avodas HaElokim UBehamroso. The Nefesh deciding whether to serve Hashem or to rebel against Hashem. That is with, this is hundreds of years before the Ramchal, and hundreds of years before, well, they'll say just hundreds of years before the Ramchal, he's saying that the Chochma El Yonah was gozer that we live with Bechira. The Ramchal more specifically explains why. Because this way we earn what we earn Olam Haba, instead of just giving it as a handout. He just says the Chochma El Yonah was gozer that we struggle with this. We develop through struggling. He doesn't elaborate or explain. He just says that's how we developed. I'm giving shiur now. I'll call you. I'll talk to you after mincha. Bachan osa b'mashemara zemimena. So that's how life is set up. V'hu hatzorech v'hachisoron el mashehu chutzla. We are needy, and we have to go fill our needs. Mimachol or mishne or malbish or ma'on shelter or mishgo. V'tziva osam lachzor aleihem. So Hashem set it up that we have to go for it, we have to work for it. Lahaviyam, besibos hamuchonos lahem, alponim yuchadim, everything has its way of doing it. Ve'itim yiduos, meaning what's mutter. Alponim yuchadim, itim yiduos, not on Shabbos, not too late on Erev Shabbos. Ponim yuchadim, you have to do what's mutter, you can't be in an inappropriate workplace. Umashav gazra aborei, sheyugmar la'odim mehem. And whatever Hashem has in store for you, because that's His gezeirah, that goes directly to the result. Yugmar v'yushlam will, never fear, be accomplished by Hashlomas hizdamnus hasibos, as you go through life and develop those sibos, you develop those channels. And what Hashem doesn't have in store for you, lo yugmar, you're not going to be rich if it's not in the cards, or in the Gzeres Hashem, you should be rich. You can stand on your head, you can open up 10 businesses, you can work overtime all you want, you're not going to earn a penny more than Hashem was gozer for you. The Yimonu Mimenu Asibos, you just won't, it's not going to work. Minizbaru Mimenu, and through that struggle, it will be clarified, this is where you'll make your choices. Ranging from, am I aware that it's Hashem? That's like the biggie. And down to, am I going to talk Lashon Hara to get the promotion? And Hashem, I don't know how the workplace works. Many times, all too often. And that sets up for your schar and onesh. This is like really, this is not for now. This says, because really, he develops this in Shar Avodas HaLokim more so, that really our Bechira is only in our hearts and minds. We decide to do a mitzvah, it's the decision. Once it comes to carrying out the decision, so again Hashem is in charge, just like any other thing in the world. Right? I decide I want to be Mevakech Chola. I decide I want to help someone out. I decide I want to daven. I decide I want to not talk Lashon Hara. So it's the decisions. Well, really by an asay more than a lot. The ability to carry it out, whether my car will start, whether I'll get stuck in a traffic jam, whether when I get there the person will be sleeping, etc., 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 that's again totally Hashem's province. That's I have nothing to say about that. Bechira is only in the mind, he says. It's the decision, and in a brilliant insight, Chavis Halvava says, it's in the decision and in planning to carry out the decision, which is an amazing insight, because decisions are easy. It's the planning to carry out the decision that's on. That's part of Bechira. It's not a question of intelligence. It's beautiful. I mean, it's not a question of intelligence. That's part of your Bechira. If you really want to do it, you're going to make a plan. I want to get up tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, so I have time to daven. Okay, I'm sorry, 6 o'clock. Sorry, 5:30. I don't know if you can daven 5:30 these days. Wait till after Shabbos. Your Bechira is not real till you make a game plan. And a game plan, I'll set an alarm clock. Or the game plan will be, well, the baby's going to wake me up anyway, so I'll just daven after I feed the baby. that's brilliant. It's a brilliant insight that the plan is part of Bechira. But the carrying out of the plan, that's why he says these five words, Ba'afilu lo gamar bahem ha-maisa. Don't worry, even if you don't end up doing it, but you get schar. Now we may know this as the Gemara saying, if a person decided to do a mitzvah and he was an ones and he didn't do it, then he still gets schar. We may be familiar with this idea from that Gemara, but that's really the manifestation of the Chaim Salvador's is saying that Bechira is in the mind, and we don't care what you end up doing or not, that's just Hashem deciding if you're taka going to be able to do the mitzvah or not. What about an Aveira? That's a little more, I don't want to get, it's off topic, because if you decide to do an Aveira, you should get punished based on this same idea, because you're making a bad choice. But there we have a rule that if you don't do the Aveira, you don't get punished. But that is already up to Hashem. So that's not really true. What we assume is not really true. It's not true once you've tried a few times. That's a Gemara. That rule that you don't get punished if you didn't do the Aveira, even if you planned on doing the Aveira, is only true the first or second time you attempted. Once you tried to talk Lashon Hara third time, and even if you didn't get around to doing it because there was nobody around, but you wanted to, you do get punished. That's a Gemara. So the idea really is that it is the same. It's just the reason you don't get punished the first two times is because we will assume your decision was not nigmar. It wasn't really. If we don't, you know, you're Jewish, we're Daniel Lekafschus, you wouldn't have done it if... But once it's the third time, you're in that mode. Anyway, again, this is getting off topic. It's just to explain these five words. Afidalo gomar behem ha-maisa. The Hasheni, reason number two, kilo lohutzach odom l'troach. If you didn't have to deal with life, the lachzor ulasabe, again, lahavos tirpo, he's talking about parnosa, hayaboe, perodif achar averos. He has leisure time, and he has nothing to do, and... not good things result in that most of the time. It's so funny or beautiful how Chavisalov like sneaks in his main yesod of the whole sefer when he talks about you're obligated to serve Hashem. He just throws in al tova so elokim alav, because Hashem has done so much for you. You know, he just sticks that in wherever he can, just to remind you. It's a booster shot. Don't forget why you're obligated to serve Hashem, because Hashem has done so much for you. Like it's almost comical, like the way he just throws it in two words. Al meshu chayev bo, al tovos elokim alof. K'mo shenemar, v'hoyo kinor, v'nevel tov, v'chol v'yayim ishteyem, v'espal Hashem lo yabitu, ma'asei yodem lo ro. He's assuming Derech Eretz means, as most Mefarshim learn, working, doing Hishtadlus. And again, it's not just Malacha with Parnasa, it's any Hishtadlus in life. Any dealing with life that we have to do. That why do we have to do it if the result is already a paskin? And the answer is because these two reasons. And I'll add a third. Well, that's maybe really part of the first. I was going to say because that's where we see if you have bitachon or not. That's an asoyon of hishtadlus. But that really is included in the first one, which is that's the battleground of bechira. So the biggest battleground is Gufa, to have a clear picture of your Hishtatlus and to still maintain your Bitachon. That's like the biggest mountain to climb in the world of Bechira. V'chol mishen lo v'chol shkein mishen lo chelik ba'echad mehem. And certainly if you don't have not Torah and not Malacha, v'lo yisom libo alachas mehem, you're really finished. So v'hoya mechem lo sabori yisal al odem, it's Hashem's rachamim, shehitrit, that he said, go work for a living. Stay out of trouble. Here, you don't have nothing to do. Here, go down to the store and buy me this. Stay out of trouble. That's what Hashem did to us. Barachamim, because he loves us and he doesn't want us to get into trouble. So he said, okay, you gotta go to work, you gotta do this, you gotta deal with this aspect of life, you gotta go to the doctor, you gotta do with your kids. You're busy, 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 busy. You don't have time to think of chet. And we see it. We see it when people have leisure time. It's warning signals. You see, men are told if you have extra time, go learn. Women apparently have no extra time ever. They don't have extra time. Shetrido ben yonei olomo v'achrizo l'sasei kol yimei chayo v'zeh. V'lo yivakesh b'ashe eno tzorech lo. V'lo yuchal asigo b'sichlo. And don't try to learn philosophy, this is saying, which is kind of weird because he puts such an emphasis on Shar HaYichud, and he holds you do have to learn to understand that Hashem Echad. So I guess he means beyond that. Don't just sit there and just to get a PhD in Religion 101. He says, V'lo yuchal asigo b'sichlo. So I guess that shuts out Shar HaYichud, because Shalavus holds that Shara Yichud is Efshar La'asigo B'sichlo. K'mon Yonei Ha'ascholah V'atichlo, what came before the world started. K'mon Shomer HaChocham Gamas Ha'olam Nosom B'libam M'bli HaShalim Tzahodim Esamasa Shereso L'kim Roshat Sof. That's what that pasuk means. Anyway, don't think thoughts about that. You're not going to understand. It's just, don't try to figure out the whole world. Just stay busy. Don't think about things you don't have any idea. The Sormon Advorm Hamagunim, the Koshef Lebidos Hatobo, I'm sorry, the Mumagbir Rabodos Alokim, and if you pass the test and you do your Rabodos Hashem, Ubocher be Yeroso, Uboteachbo, the Inyoni Taroso, the Olomo, the Sormon Advorm Hamagunim, and you stay away from inappropriate things, the Koshef, and you yearn Lebidos Tovos, Lo Yedait, the Menucha, then we trust you, then you could relax a little, and you could have some leisure time. As you grow as a person, Hashem lets up. Like when a kid gets older, so old I mean like 35, 36. When a kid gets older, then we can allow him a little leisure time, because then we're not so worried that he's going to get into trouble. That's what he says. Below Yadel Ashalva, below Yetzer Yetzer, below Yifes, he won't be Nifte, he won't be You won't be able to talk him into Bekishvei Ha'olam. You won't be taken by the world. When you're younger, you say, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta experience this, I gotta experience that. It's called sowing your wild oats. Then you calm down and you say, I don't have to do anything. Everything's on my block. What do I have to go anywhere for? What do I have to... The year I was a novel, and then another year I was a novel, I found out that they got married without me. I didn't go to the chasana, and guess what happened? The people got married. They didn't say, oh, Rabbi Milinowitz, we had to call off the wedding because you couldn't come. No one said that. No one. So that was an eye-opener. I was so depressed. But then I realized, you go because it's a mitzvah to go, b'im sameach chasan kala. But that's why you're going. Don't go and have a good time. Yistalik me olav torech ha-gilgul. Oh, now he's saying a big yisod, and that's going to lead us to a question. And then the Chavos is going to segue into a totally different topic. He says, as you prove your metal, I don't know if there's such a word, as your metal is tested, and you show that you pass, that you make good bechiras, and you don't get into trouble when you have leisure time. You do purposeful, constructive, spiritual things. So as you do that, your tzorech for hishtadlus lessons. Hashem eases up on the throttle, and you don't have to do so much, because if your only reason to do it are these two things, so logically we would expect that as you grow and overcome struggles, Hashem eases up. That's what should be. He's immediately going to ask, what happened? The world doesn't work that way. We see big tzaddikim, sometimes it does, but we see plenty tzaddikim, and they have very rough lives. And they have the, so. But he just wants to finish the thought the way things should be. It's logical that as you pass the test of these two reasons, A, the battleground of Bechira, B, you don't get into trouble with leisure time, so Hashem lets up, and you have less and less ishtadlus to do. Because you've already proven yourself. So that's really theoretical, because have you ever proven yourself? There's always new mountains to climb, and there's always new madregas to reach. So I don't know, maybe he's talking theoretically, but he's immediately going to say that that's not the real world anyway. Habachina ba'beita betova v'yavo tirfa b'li torach u'b'li yagia. You are going to get that. Santa Claus will come down the chimney with a bundle of money, and you're not going to have to do hishtadlus. That's what should be. And now he segues into Tzadik Baralo, because Tzadik Baralo doesn't have to mean Rallo. In the Chavis Halvodas' world that he just constructed, anytime a tzaddik is busy with parnasa, so that's tzaddik v'ralo, because according to the building that he just constructed, again, Hashem decides on the result. Everything we do is just hisaskus pasibos. Why did Hashem create our lives in such a way that we're essentially living an illusion? Two reasons. One is Bechira, one is to keep us out of trouble. And then he says, logically then, the more a person proves himself, the less hishtadlus he should have to make. That's the construct. And now he says, but it's not like that. How come? And that's what I mean. He segues, and now he goes into a whole, he segues into Tzadik Viralo and Rosh HaBetovlo. Because that's the answer to that is going to be the answer to this, because this is just a form of Viralo. Why doesn't the tzaddik get what he deserves? The need for less and less ishtadlus. Why isn't that the case? First of all, he says mitzas. It's tzaddik Viralo happens less often than you think. It's like reading a newspaper. So they only print man bites dog. They don't print dog bites man. So when the tzaddik has it easier, and so that you don't realize it. We only see the tzaddikim that have it rough. So that's why he says mixas tzaddikim. Plus realize that the tzaddik is sameach b'chelko and doesn't even need much. So he's having a good life anyway, because he focuses only on what's important and what's essential in life. So that's why he uses the word mixas tzaddikim. But it happens often enough that it's a good kasha. How come mixas tzaddikim lo yizdami lahem tirfam el achrei ha'amal vayagia? They also have to sweat and work and earn and do all that ishtadlus. And the converse. For Rabbi Me'anshei Ha'averos, b'shalvo, v'chayeyem betov, v'b'ne'imim, they got a Yerusha, or they have an easy job, and they have a high salary, and they're not good people. What happened to what I just said? Like, Nomar, you're not the first person to think of this question. Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered by this question. This is a general question called Tzadik Viralo in Rosh HaBetovlo. This is just a minor offshoot or form of that question. And he says, guess what? You say, why did Hashem do this to me? People say, so it's not, don't answer them what I'm about to say. The Chavis HaLavas is saying, you're not the first person in history that had bad things happen to them. Like, it's not your question. It's the Nevi'im's question. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's question. It's Hashem's question in Kohelas. It's like, relax, right? The whole year, like, oh, you just thought of that question? Wow. Everything else in the world and history happened chick-chock, beautifully, perfectly, wonderfully, and you're the first person to suffer a tragedy. Don't say that to the person, by the way. But the Chavit HaLovis is sort of saying that. He says, and if you'll say, Mixas Tzadikim are struggling, he says, and Rishoyim are having it b'shalba, Nomar, ki kvar kodnu ha-Nevi'im v'chasidim lachkar al zeh. Guess what? There were already Nevi'im and Chasidim that asked about this. And it's expressed in different ways throughout Tanakh. Mehem Misha Omar, he calls the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Maduach Derech Rishon Solcha, Vamar Ha'acher in Chavakok, Lomit Tirani Avon Vamol Tabit, Vishol Dachomas Lenegdi, Vayehi Riv, Umedon Yisa, Vomar Again in Chavakok, Ki Rosha Machter is Hatzadik, Vomar Again in Chavakok, Tachshirich, Vivaloa Rosha Tzadik Mimenu, Vomar Acher in Eil Rishon, Vishal De Olam Hisku Choyo, Vomar and Tehillim, Machrik Zikisu Livobi, I'm doing it for nothing. This is throughout the Tanakh, this question. The Gemara doesn't bring down the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu asked this question. Ach haniach hanovi hatshuva. The beer ilas zu. The reason we don't have a clear answer, the Navi raises the question. Why don't the Navi give us the answer? So the Chavis HaLovis says, because there is no one answer. There's no one size fits all answer. First, you want to answer, Hashem knows what he's doing. You know, if that answer satisfies you, then that's beautiful, and one size fits all. Hashem knows what he's doing. But he says, Chavis doesn't go for that. He says, the reason the Navi, listen to this, he says, the reason the Navi doesn't give an answer to the question, which is dangerous, right? You think the Navi leaves it as an open question. He says, because he can't. He has to be honest. And every case, there could be, and the Chavis proceeds to give 6, 7, 8 reasons possibly why that would be. Why Tzadik Viralo, and 6, 7, 8 reasons why Rasha Vatovlo. So he says there's not one size fits all. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's nisyonos are different. And he goes through them. He says, you know, we'll see. We're going to learn it. He says, we're not going to skip it. Even though he said, what does that have to do with Bitachon? So I showed you this is how he segues into this. Because he's, again, the stream of consciousness is number 5 in Perek Gimel, which is Hashem's gozer, everything that happens, and you can't change the gzeira. I mean, you can change it through tefillah, ma'isim tovim. I meant you can't do anything to change the gzeira, not spiritual. No matter how many growth hormones you take. I'm not saying you shouldn't take growth hormones if you have a little kid that's very short and the doctor says maybe you should take growth hormones. Although I'm also not saying you should. But the Shiloh will let the doctors fight it out. But if Hashem says he should be 4 feet, 9 inches, if that's it, then that's what he's going to be no matter what you do. But he says, but if the Sheshi Shemei Bereshis, there's Ishtadlus or Isaskus Pasibos. Why? What a waste of time. Not a waste of time. 2 reasons. If the 2 reasons are true, then as a person progresses spiritually, he should have less and less ishtadlus to do. And that is the case. But there's mitzvah tzaddikim that is not the case. Why? He says, you're not the first person to ask this question. It's really the larger issue of Rosh Hashanah. Tovlo tzaddik v'ralo, and the Nevi'im asked the question. Why didn't they give an answer? Because there is no one answer. There's many answers because that's life and the people and generations and everybody has their own life to live and nisyonos to overcome and it's to grow. The answer is really like Hashem knows what he's doing, because you're always growing. We'll see whether the tzaddik is growing and going to an even higher madrega than he would have ordinarily had. And this is a tremendous chesed Hashem is giving him that he's poor, because now he has something else to struggle with in his life. He's such a tzaddik and he's poor, but now he's moving up spiritually. Right, this world is a joke. How long do we live already? 120 years is like our biggest bracha to a person. A guy came over to me at the bus stop this morning. Sorry, guy. I'm only saying that because who else would ask me to give him a bracha? So he says, he sees a guy with a beard, I guess. And he says, "Oh, Rav, give me a bracha." I said, "You should live to 120. He says, no. I have beard machshavos. I go on a bracha. I said, "I can't give you a bracha on that. You have to work on it. I give you a bracha that if you work on it, it'll work. You'll be rid of your machshavos rolls." He kisses my hand. I washed my hand. I don't know. Oh, come on. I don't know. A guy in the street, who knows what he was doing last night? I don't know. Come on. I'm an American, man. Don't kiss my hand.
He rubbed your hand.
I don't know. What?
He rubbed your hand.
That's why I was mocked him. He's a Sardi. That's what my hand done was. They're going around kissing everyone's hand. I felt good. I said, "Hey, maybe I should give myself a bracha. I just missed mincha." Let's continue here next week.